Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Previous verses say they were astonished by his miracles. They were astonished by his teaching. So miracles were taking place. Great teaching was happening. And then something happens in these short verses to, by the end of whatever happened internally in these people, now Jesus is limited to the work he's able to do. He says, because of their unbelief, the power of unbelief. Now go to the very last part of Mark, verse 53. Some other things happen in chapter 6. Go to the last part of chapter 6. Some other things happen in chapter 6. He commissions the 12 apostles to go out and do the same work that he's doing. John the Baptist is beheaded. Feeding of 5,000, pretty big miracle, okay? Walking on water, ever tried it? Pretty big miracle, right? So some crazy stuff happening. Verse 53, end of Mark chapter 6, okay? It says this. Now there's a whole different group because he crosses over. So he leaves all the people he knows. He goes to the other side. It says this in verse 53. And when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and beached the boat. And as they got out of the boat, people immediately recognized him. They hurried throughout that vicinity and began to carry the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he would go into the village towns or the country, they laid the sick people in the marketplaces and begged Jesus that they might touch just the tassel of his robe. Now look at this. And everyone who touched it was made well. Do you see the two separate views happening here? With the people he knows and then the people he doesn't know. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray in the next few moments that we have together that, God, you would teach us, that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us, that we walk out of this place having encountered you and knowing the love of God in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said, amen, amen. How many of you guys have ever been to SeaWorld? Anybody ever been to SeaWorld before? Okay, the majority of us been to SeaWorld. We've been going to SeaWorld for a really long time. My oldest daughter is 15, and we've been going ever since she was little. And so we've been to SeaWorld quite a bit. Well, a couple years back, they opened up this new attraction because of all the other attractions, Blackwater, that they got shut down. And so they had to open up all these other attractions, right? And so one of the attractions, how many of you guys seen it? It's that the acrobats and the dolphins. I can't remember the name of it. You seen that one, right? And so we went. I remember the very first time we went, man, we were on the edge of our seats. And we were like, whoa, did you see that? And did you see that? And how did that happen? And how did that person really turn into a bird? And right? We're just absolutely blown away by what's taking place. And then we went a second time, and we're seeing new things that we didn't see before. And then a third time, and then a fourth time. And all summer long, we are just blown away and mesmerized by this show and dolphins and acrobats. And there's just so much happening, and water's shooting everywhere. And man, we talked about, we couldn't wait to go back again. Okay, you all seen that one, right? If not, go. It's pretty awesome. Well, it was like a couple summers later, some friends come into town, and we decided we want to take our friends to SeaWorld, and so we do. We get them tickets, and they're like, well, let's go to this show. And we're like, yeah, that's a good show. Let's go to that. And we're sitting there, and as we're sitting there at the show, my friends are like, whoa, oh my gosh, did you see that? Oh my word. And they're just, and we're just kind of sitting there talking with each other. Kind of like, what's the big deal? Sorry, and then we'll go back to talk to each other. My daughters are like over there on their phones on Instagram, right? Or Snapchat or whatever, right? All of this is taking place in front of us. Our friends are absolutely blown away, and we are sitting there no longer mesmerized by dolphins jumping out of the water and acrobats jumping in the water. And water. We're no longer mesmerized. It means nothing to us at this point. But yet they're blown away. What changed? Did the show change? No, nothing changed about the show. What changed was in me. This show had now become familiar to me. I knew what the guy was going to do, when he was going to do it, if he made a mistake, because I've seen it so many times. And if he made a mistake, I actually was like, gosh, get a new guy. Right? Come on, is somebody with me this morning? Like, you've seen it so many times, like, oh, he did that wrong. Like, it's like when we go to Pets World right now, we're like, oh, that dog's not supposed to be doing that right now. Yeah. Right? because we've seen it. It has now become familiar to us, and now we actually even get a little bit offended when they don't do it right, as if we wrote the show, right? And yet our friends are sitting right here completely mesmerized and blown away by the same show. What changed? What changed was in here. What changed is this has now become familiar to me. And because it's become familiar to me, it no longer has any power in me. It no longer raises any interest. And now I actually find myself like that dude. I find myself getting offended by the show. And we walked away that day. And I kid you not, man, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me so clearly. He said, Ben, that same thing happens to people in church all the time. Now, if we're not careful, somewhere along in our spiritual journey, this becomes common. Sunday morning becomes common. Experiencing the presence of God becomes common, right? Like, because we heard that song, you know, I was at another church last week, and the way they did that song was so much more epic than the way they did it this morning. As if the song is the point, right? We're going through Mark chapter 6. Well, at my last church, we went through Mark, and man, I'll tell you what the pastor did there. Oh, it's getting quiet in this church, right? And all of a sudden, this. So I just want to talk to you for the next few moments, if I can, because here in Mark chapter 6, on the bookends of this chapter, we see a group of people that is initially blown away, astonished, mesmerized, like, wow, listen to the teaching and look at the miracles. And then all of a sudden, here's what they begin to do. They begin to make it common. They begin to make it common. Let me walk you through this real quick. The power of unbelief, the pathway to unbelief. And as I'm talking to you about the pathway to unbelief, listen to me now. I'm not trying to get you to a place of unbelief. I'm trying to get you to avoid the pitfalls that will take us to that place where all of a sudden we come into church and we're no longer experiencing the power and the presence of God. We go to our small group. We get together with other believers and we wonder why, where's the power? The power of God hasn't gone anywhere. The power of God is available. The presence of God is here. What changes is the person. The pathway to unbelief. The first thing I see in this passage, number one, is they begin to treat the sacred as common. They begin to treat the sacred. And in this context, we're looking at Jesus, the Son of God, God incarnate in the flesh on earth. And they begin to treat him as common. Listen to what they do. Here they are, blown away, miracles, wow, the teaching. And all of a sudden, I don't know if one person stepped up and said it first or if they're all thinking it amongst themselves. I don't know. But let me just tell you this. It seems to be that people that are negative and people that are critical seem to find each other in a pack. Right? Right? Because if you're like a faith-filled positive person and that critical negative person kind of comes in, they don't last very long. They actually get annoyed with positive people. Right? They get annoyed because, like, what do you mean life is good? No, it's not. Look, my tank's almost an empty. I got to stop at the gas station. Right? I mean, just little things. It doesn't matter what it is. There's critical and negative about everything. Right? Right? And they tend to, now here's what I've noticed, is that positive people can tend to get a little bit irritated with negative people. Right? But here's the thing. They might get a little bit, but they'll still let them come around. Because they want the power of what's working in them to get on them. But negative, critical people will not stick around in a pack of positive people. Mm-hmm. Right? It's true. So I don't know who started it. I don't know if one person started. I don't know if it was a bunch of them. I don't know if they found each other. But look at what they do. Look what they say. They're like, wait a second. We see the miracles and the teaching's great, but hold on a second. Isn't this the son of Mary, the carpenter? What'd they do? They took the sacred and they brought it down and they made it common. He's just, wait a second. He's just a carpenter. How is that fair? I make pots. Why can't I do that? Right? He's just a carpenter. Now listen to this. This is the second encounter Jesus has had in his hometown. The other one is found in, let me just give you the exact reference, if I wrote it down, hopefully I did. Luke chapter 4 is his first visit. And in his first visit there, something similar happens, but not as drastic. And in that passage, they actually say, isn't this the son of Joseph, the carpenter? Here, though, the second time in, now they're no longer bringing Joseph into the scene. Now, this could be for one of two reasons. The first reason is this, maybe Joseph is dead. And so out of respect for the dead, they don't mention Joseph. But many of the scholars believe actually, because the way it's worded, this is actually slang about Jesus. Isn't this the son of Mary? Meaning he has no father? Meaning he never did have a father? Who is this? He's just slang. What are they doing? They're making him common. They're bringing him down. And it is the first step. Now listen to me. I believe with all my heart that this happens sometimes in us, but it doesn't happen intentionally often. Sometimes it just happens. We come into moments of worship. Listen, we don't do songs because it's a good psychological, emotional stir to get people ready to hear the gospel. Now, does it work that way sometimes? Sure. But we do these moments because they are honoring and pleasing to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We do these moments, and that's why you see some people maybe in there, and they're raising their hands. You're like, well, who's he waving at? Is he waving at the guitar player? That's so weird, right? Oh, no, he's waving at the piano player, Why isn't the piano player waving back? What's happening right now, right? You come into church and stuff is happening, and then all of a sudden someone next to you starts waving at the band. You're like, what's going on? Right? We're not waving. The Bible talks about the lifting up of holy hands in worship and honor and praise to God. And so when someone's like this, it's like we're worshiping God. That is so weird. I know it's a little different, okay? But you don't think that when you go to a sporting event, right? When someone jumps out of their seat because someone ran across a white line. Woo! Let's be honest. That's weird. The dude crossed the white line, mind blown. Now, sure, there's like a bunch of big dudes trying to hit him and tackle him, but still, right? But he crossed the white line. Last time I checked, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, died on the cross for all the sins of humanity so that we wouldn't have to deal with separation from God. That's a lot bigger than a white line. Come on, somebody. Are you with me? These moments of worship, all of a sudden we come in and we begin to treat them as common. Oh, guitar player's a little off. No, not today, because it was Mike. Mike's always on. The drummer, who is that? I haven't seen him on the drums before. Is he, I don't know, is he on tempo? I don't know. Man, what just happened to the sound system? Did it go out? Now, let me ask you, how many of you guys noticed that this morning? Everybody, right? And see, most of you are like, oh, dude, their sound went out, and you're cringing. We weren't cringing because we intentionally planned that to do something out of the ordinary to get your attention. Take notes on that. Right? We had your attention. I thought, what's happening? Something out of the ordinary. It's different. It's planned. Got your attention. Pastor Barron just powered through it. He doesn't really need a mic with that booming voice. Here's what happens in Scripture. They begin to treat the sacred as common. This isn't the first time. If you go back to the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 32, when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, a guy named Moses was leading them out. This was like their iconic leader. Like they looked, if Moses was there, it was like, okay. But if Moses wasn't, there were people like having anxiety attacks. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, what are we gonna do? One time the Bible talks that in Exodus 3, that he actually went up on a mountain and he was gone for a really long time and everybody started having panic attacks. Yeah. What are we gonna do? Our leader's gone. He's probably dead. So they go to his brother Aaron, and you would think they might put Aaron in as leader. No. Aaron, what are we gonna do? Aaron's like, I don't know. Here's what we want you to do, Aaron. He's like, yeah, make me leader. They're like, we want you to make for us a golden calf. What? Like, I'm his brother. Like, we're close. Like, I could take over and lead this thing. Right? No. Who wants you to make for us a golden calf? So this is what the Bible says. The Bible says they took the gold rings and earrings and they had melted it down and he made a golden calf for them. Now check this out. If you rewind in the book of Exodus, here's where they got the gold rings and the gold earrings. They got it from the people in Egypt where they were held in bondage for hundreds of years. They took what was familiar and common and created a god for themselves. And then they say this, Exodus chapter 32. Once the calf is all made, they say, gold calf, behold the God that has led us up out of the land of Egypt. Whoa. Right words, wrong God. What did they do? They took something sacred and brought it down and made it common. And sometimes we do that within our worship, within our relationship with God. Pastor, how do I avoid that? I don't want to make the sacred common. How do I avoid making the sacred common? Here's how you do it. I believe it happens by maintaining a heart of gratitude. A heart of thanksgiving and gratitude. Are you with me? I mean, there's times, you know, we'll still go to SeaWorld now. And we'll go for like 3 hours because we got the season pass. Right? Do you want to go to that show? No. And it's become like a playground. Pull up. We even got the season pass with the free parking. Come on, somebody. Right? We pull up, go for a couple hours, we're out. That was fun. But even within myself and my kids, I've noticed that we've lacked gratitude for this. But the way we continue to make something sacred or keep something sacred, because it really is by maintaining a heart of gratitude, being thankful. Being thankful. Finding thankfulness in everything. Is somebody with me this morning? Let me move on because I just got a few minutes left. We treat the sacred as common. The next thing I believe we do as we follow this path of unbelief, number two is we build an offense. We build an offense. Look what it says. They brought him down. He's just a carpenter, son of that woman. Brothers are here. Sisters are here. Nothing really great about him. And then the Bible says, they took offense at him. They were offended at him. Let me just give you the word offended. The word offended is the word scandalizo, where we actually get the word scandal. Scandalizo. Here's what it means. To put a stumbling block or impediment, upon which another may trip and fall. Okay, now let me explain this to you. So here they are. They take offense at him. They are upset. Now, as you continue to read on in Scripture, what do? They try to trip him up. They try to catch him in something. They try to continue to bring him down. And so they're always trying to trap him. The religious leaders are asking questions of Jesus, trying to trap him, what is that? They're offended at him. And here's what happens, whether it's with God and sometimes even other people. Can we go there for a moment? When we begin to get offended or we begin to build an offense at something, what we're literally doing is we're trying to create something for them to stumble over. But here's the thing. In all reality, what's happening is we're creating a barrier with all of the stuff we're trying to put in their place to try to trip them up, to try to get them to mess up. Here's how we're actually building a fence. Are you with me? We think, because we're offended at them. I don't like what they did. What's happening is we're actually building a wall. We're building a fence. It's actually hindering us, not them. Are you with me? In this passage, the fact that they were offended and took offense at Jesus did nothing to Jesus other than he wasn't able to heal. But listen, the healing wasn't for Jesus. The miracles weren't for Jesus. The signs and wonders weren't for Jesus, they were for the people. And because they took an offense, because they were offended at him, they literally built something up, and now they're no longer able to be a part of the privileges that come from him. Are you with me this morning? This happens. This happens. This happens scripturally here, biblically here. It happens in our life. It happens with others. At other churches, I guess. Right? You get offended. And you think, I'm never hanging out with them again. I'm not going to talk with them. I'm not going to be their friend. Right? And you think you're hurting them. But really, you're hurting yourself. And now you've separated yourself from them. And so now you can no longer receive the benefits and privileges from that relationship. You just, and pretty soon, I don't know if I can go, pretty soon, you can't see anybody. You can't receive from anybody because you've built a fence all around yourself. And you're kind of like, why is everybody so happy? What's going on out there? What's happening? Oh, that person said they got healed. No, they really got healed. I didn't feel anything. Why are these people so excited about worship? I think worship, that's great. Oh, look at those people going forward for prayer. What are they? There's probably nothing happening. I've been there once. Tricked you, didn't I? Right? But you know what? Some of us, that's how we're living our spiritual existence. Because we have offenses built up. And they were offended at him. How do we stay free from offense? This is such an easy one, but it's such an ignored one. Here's how you can stay free from an offense. You stay free from an offense by daily submitting ourselves in prayer and humility to God. How does that work? Here's how it works. The very fundamentals of prayer require humility. You can't go into prayer, really. I mean, you can, but it's not going to get you anywhere, and he's probably not going to hear you. Because the very essence of prayer is me coming to God, saying, God, I need you. Right? That's it. See, some of us maybe think that prayer is all about me. Say, God, I'm going to bring you. Here's all of my checklist needs. But even in that, you know what you're saying? God, I need you. The very essence of prayer requires us to be humble, requires us to walk in humility, requires us to come into a place and be like, God, look, this is what's going on in my life. I don't have the answers. I don't think I can make it. Are you with me? What they were doing in this moment, after they made him calm, and the Bible says they took offense at him. They brought him down to their level. They were offended at him. What they're saying is they're building this wall. And they're saying, you know what? We don't need you. What you are bringing, we don't want to be a part of. The way we can avoid that. Listen, the way we can avoid that in our relationship with him, but also the way we can avoid it in our relationship with others is through prayer. Because when you go to a place of prayer, it requires humility. I'll never forget one time I was super offended at a pastor I was working for. Shocker. Because I know people get offended with me. Not, I didn't mean to go this direction. I know people. Just didn't want to offend anybody. I know people can get offended with their pastor. Okay? I mean, you're all wrong. You need to repent, but it's besides the point. But I remember being super offended for a pastor I worked for. And I'm so offended I left work that day. And I called, no, not God, I called mom and dad. Come on, somebody. I was in youth ministry, kind of fresh into it. I had an opportunity to go and preach. My very first preaching gig outside of my church. I mean, I have arrived, right? that they were going to fly me to Colombia to speak at this huge rally. And I was just like, awesome. I said yes to it, absolutely. And then I remembered I worked at a church. And so I had to go to my boss, which was my pastor. And I said, hey, I got this super great opportunity to go speak to thousands of young people in Colombia. And so I really want to take it. What do you think? He said, what are the dates? I told him, he said, you can't go. I was like, what? That's just not going to work. What, we need you here. I remember being so offended. Like, are you serious right now? Do you know who I am? Right? I am technically your employee. All right. Dang it, right? And I remember going home, and I was so upset. And I called my mom and dad, and I told them everything that happened. I said, can you believe that? Can you believe that? And they're like, well, Ben, let's pray about it. I'm like, yeah, let's do that. Let's pray that God would speak right now to my pastor, change his heart. He's probably a sinner, because I mean, who would, right? And so my mom goes, well, I'll pray. And so my mom starts praying for me. God, I just pray right now for my son, Ben. I'm like, yes, in agreement. That you would begin to change his heart. True story. I remember taking the phone away, looking at my wife, I'm like, you're not going to believe it. They drank the Kool-Aid too. I'm like, are you kidding me? And I was so mad. But literally, in the power of the moment of prayer, man, a wave of humility, let me just rephrase that, a choice of humility came. Because you know what the Bible says? A lot of us pray for humility. God, make me more humble. God doesn't make us humble. He will put us in moments or allow us to be in moments where we choose humility. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Humility is a choice. And in that moment of prayer, man, I had to choose humility. And I had to go back to my pastor and I had to ask for forgiveness. But in that moment, I'm telling you, the way that we can stay free from offense, not just with God, but with other people, is in a place of prayer and humility. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor. That wasn't a very humble statement, sorry. Number three, we finish here. Can have the band come back up. The path to unbelief. We make the sacred common. We build an offense. And lastly, we lack honor. We lack honor. Look what Jesus says. Jesus recognizes what's taking place. He hears the statements they're making. This is just a carpenter. Just the son of Mary. And where does he get off doing this stuff? He recognizes that they're offended at him. Listen to what he says. He said, a prophet is without honor in his hometown. He recognized that the people lacked honor. And the very next statement that is made in Scripture, after he's unable to do any great miracles, the very next statement is, he's amazed at their unbelief. You know, in Scripture, depending on what translation you're reading from, some of you might be reading from a translation that says he marveled at their unbelief. He marveled. There are two things in the Bible that made Jesus marvel. Two things. Read it. I read it over and over and over again. The two things that make him marvel, one is seen right here, their unbelief. The second one is faith. He marvels at faith. In Luke chapter 7, verse 9, there's a story about a centurion, a high up guard or in military. And he comes and he's begging of Jesus to minister, to bring life, to bring healing. Jesus says, well, I'll go with you. And he said, no. No, you don't need to go with me. Only say a word. Only speak a word and it's going to be done. And the Bible says that Jesus was astonished or marveled at the man's faith. I don't know about you, but I want to be a church It doesn't cause God to marvel because of our unbelief, but causes God to marvel because of our faith. And the way that we continue to allow the presence of God and faith to run free in our community and in our church is by making sure that we don't treat the sacred as common, making sure that we don't build up fences in our life, and making sure that we bring honor to the one whom honor is due, and that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as we continue to bring honor, how do we bring honor? We bring honor through our words and through our actions. We honor through our words and our actions. And as we continue to be a place that brings honor to God, honor to his son Jesus, and honor to the living word, I believe we're gonna create a place where God will look down and not marvel at our unbelief, come on, but will marvel at our faith. That people will know that Canvas is a church that believes God for the impossible, that believes God for the miraculous, that believes God for the supernatural, that believes God for healings and restoration in people's lives and people's marriages and healing in people's bodies. But if we're not careful, we begin to slip into that place and that space of taking that which is sacred and making it common. We've got to continue to honor. It's in these moments of worship, with our actions, with our words, with our deeds, that we can bring honor to the King of Kings. It's by the way we live our life that brings honor to God. Romans chapter 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove it is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We bring honor to him by the way we live our life. And as we continue to worship the sacred, the King of Kings, bring honor to him and don't build up offenses, I believe we'll create a community. Continue to build a community. Come on, where the miraculous flows. Are you with me this morning? Come on, where provision flows, where healing flows, where life flows, where grace flows. God, we thank you for your word today. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. God, we thank you that your word, God, your word alone can bring life. Your word alone can bring healing. Your word alone can bring provision. Hallelujah. Do me a favor, just stand to your feet.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.